morning, y'all. It is so good to have you here in my city, in my state. I absolutely positively love Houston. And one of the reasons I love it is because of the humidity. How many of you are enjoying the humidity here in Houston? Yeah, some people are like shaking their heads. This is what you have to remember. When the humidity hits you, just think it's really good for my skin. What you don't know is I am 75, right? So that was supposed to be a joke, sorry. Not a good one. I will not stand here and do comedy for you. I'm just going to talk to you about some truths that I believe about who we are. And I'll tell you that the way that I think about these truths is because of the way that they have come to me personally. So you guys are kind of at an interesting stage in your life. Like, we wanted to get into the science of all of it, but you probably don't want to get into all the science. And if you wanted to get into all the deep, deep psychology of it, all of you right now are in the midst of discovering your identity. You think you have an identity, you kind of know who you are, but just by the natural phase of being in a teenage stage of life, you are in a stage where your whole body is saying, who am I? What do I really believe? I've been told things, I've experienced things. What do I believe about those things? What do I do now, and who will I be at the end? So it's no wonder if you sometimes are feeling like, hey, I just kind of don't know who I am, or I'm feeling really angry right now, or I'm feeling really sad right now. Like, all of those things are just absolutely normal. They're what they're supposed to be. I'm wondering if you know who this person is. Somebody say his name? He's been in the news and he's been on Facebook for a little bit. His name is Brody Ryder. Brody came home from school really sad one day because he had taken his yearbook to school and absolutely, positively, nobody would sign it. And so what he wrote in his book was, hope you make some friends someday, to himself. Brody is a person who inside was beginning to learn and tell himself a story that his identity was loser, not worthy, not good enough, no friends, all alone. Some people heard about that and they started making it all different. In fact, Ant-Man, Paul Rudd even like sent him a note card and all this other stuff. So things are turning around for Brody. But I sat there going, you know what? Brody made the news. But there are a whole lot of others of us that could have been the same story for. Even if it's not on the outside, even if you feel like you're one of the most popular people or people go, gosh, that person has it all together. The star on the football team, making all A's. They like everyone. Everyone likes them. There's still sometimes an internal feeling that says to us, you're just not worth it. You're not good enough. The message and the story that we say inside of ourselves is always the story that we are starting to believe and acting out of more than the story that people can come and tell us from the outside. So we've got to deal with some of the stuff that's happening inside of us. Some of the stuff when I was in high school that happened with me was, one, I was the pastor's kid. So inside myself, while my parents had never said, you have to act a certain way because you're the pastor's kid, or you have to do certain things or be certain things, my parents were so good about not doing that. They never did it, but in my head, I always knew that I had a title on me that I somehow had to behave in a certain way. And then my group of friends one day when I was just kind of having this moment of like, I don't fit in, I don't belong, nobody likes me, all my friends are beautiful and I'm not. Their response was really gracious to me. They said, gosh, Michelle, every group of friends needs the chubby, happy one and you're ours. And you know what? I said, oh, okay, then that's what I'll be. My worth and my identity sits in as long as I can always be happy and a little chubby, then everything's good. If I can just put out that. So anytime a sad or hard feeling would come towards me, I would say, this is bad. If I got angry, if I got sad, I'd be like, this is so bad. And then people aren't going to like me. They're going to run away from me. I'm a bad person because I'm having a bad feeling because my identity is supposed to be the one who is always happy and cheerful and happy clappy. I've got to tell you, those lines went with me through many even grown-up years until I finally one day just couldn't take that as my identity anymore. The feelings and the emotions that I had were so stuffed down. You guys remember the Jack in the Box? Like, did you guys play with those when you were little? Like, it's like the Jack in the Box. Like, I would keep shoving feelings down and shoving other ideas down until one day the Jack in the Box just pops and it's like, bam! And I felt like my life had exploded. It exploded in tears, in loneliness, in depression, in all of these things that I didn't know how to manage or handle. And I remember someone looking at me in the face and saying, Michelle, do you know who you are? And I said, yes, I'm the one who's always happy. I'm the one who can always make things happen. I'm the one who is always who will always get it right. And they looked at me and they said, no, you can't live up to that. We've got to look at your identity in a different way. We've got to take some time here and discover a few different things. So I began a long journey of discovery of saying, what is humanity? What's identity? How do we manage it? How do we deal with it? And so as we talk in these next few minutes, my hope is that I'm going to be able to give you a little bit of framework for what reality and identity is, and a couple ideas of how you can manage that to make it work. Because if you think about it, what is the story that you are telling yourself about who you are? Like, there's a story you might tell me, but there's a story inside of you that you're telling yourself. And it's time to check out whether that's a true story or if it needs to be readjusted. In Isaiah 43:1, it says, now says the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you, fear not. I have redeemed you, I have called you, and you are mine. You know, I used to kind of like this verse because it was in a song that I would sing, and it was a happy, clappy song, and so I always loved it. And we would just sing, and it was kind of fun. And then I would think about the verse like, oh, it's the Bible verse, and it's a great verse, and it's so awesome. But then one day, I was reading it in Scripture, and I was like, this verse is deeper than what I have ever given it credit for. This verse helps give me the framework for what identity means. Who I am in Christ and who I am as I enter into the world with other people. And those two things stay connected. You know, I always used to read that beginning part. Now says the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you. I kind of always imagined Isaiah being like this big, bold guy going, now says the Lord, he who created you and he who formed you. Like this big booming voice, like God from a mountain wood. And now I kind of do this like sarcastic thing when I read it. Like, okay, now says the Lord. Remember the guy who created you and the guy who formed you? Like, if this guy created you and formed you, isn't there going to be something about him that maybe you should pay attention to? Like, he's the big guy. You got it. Here it is. It says, fear not. So we go into a journey where it might feel fearful, but it's really a journey for us. It says, I have redeemed you. I I've redeemed you. When I read that, the first thing that I think of is that, man, I am so grateful that I know who Jesus Christ is. I am so grateful that I know that I can go to the cross and throw all of my sins, all the things wrong that I do, and that he has paid the price for it all. I give so much thanks for that. He's redeemed me in the fact that I get to have eternal life and live forever. In fact, this is my picture of eternal life. So in my past days, you guys will give the old lady some grace, right? In my past days, I was a cheerleader. And so I always have this image, because when the football games and basketball games would happen, like the cheerleaders would stand there with their pom-poms cheering, and then the guys or the gals would come running through, and they'd break through the paper and be like, yeah, we're here to win the game, and it would be a cool thing. Any of you guys experienced that? Give me a little energy, I'm seeing smiles and all that stuff. Okay, so this is what like the final deal of redemption will be for me, in knowing that because of Jesus' salvation for me, is there will be angel cheerleaders along the path, and they will all be going, yay! And they'll be shaking gold pom-poms, and I will get to come running through and be like, I'm here! I'm here. And Jesus is going to be before me. He's like, yeah, you are. And I will rejoice and be grateful. At the ultimate, that's redemption. But redeeming is so much more even practical in the moment for us. We have the ultimate salvation, but we also have the moment of stories that we tell ourselves that need some redeeming. We say, I've done some really bad things. With the work that I do, I sit with people and they tell me stories of their life, and they sit there and they dump out things, and they look at me and they go, I've never told anyone this before. And they feel what is called shame. Shame is really deep. Sometimes they feel guilt, but most of the time they feel shame. And while those two words might sound a little bit similar, they're actually very, very different. Guilt is, I am sorry for something that I did wrong. I'm sorry that I punched you in the face. I'm sorry that I called you a bad name. I'm sorry that I posted something negative about you on social media. Shame is, I am something wrong. I'm bad. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy to be standing up here. Don't look at me. If you only knew, you would know how bad I am. That's shame. Guilt we deal with, shame is something that robs us of life. That becomes, when shame is living in us, it begins to take over our identity. And shame must be redeemed. What does shame look like when I listen to people talk? Shame looks like, when I was a kid, my mom and dad used to fight all the time. And when they would fight, I really was pretty sure it was my fault. I made my parents get divorced. Shame is, I heard my parents saying some things, and I know that I'm the bad person. They talked about not having enough money, and I am the reason that they don't have enough money anymore. Shame, as it grows up and as we continue to live in it, is hearing the one person who one time said that we were a screw up. I had a woman look at me and she's like, you know, I just keep hearing in my head, I'm a screw up, I'm a screw up, I'm a screw up. And unfortunately, she did not use the word screw up. She used a much stronger word that begins with F. And I was like, holy cow. That is what shame is living deep inside. When you hear those things in your identity, they need to be redeemed. What does that look like? Redeeming those things means saying, this is not true. It means not holding it within ourselves. The hardest thing to do is to look at someone and say, when I look in the mirror, are you okay that I'm staring at you right now? Okay. She's like, when I look in the mirror, all I hear is I'm a screw up, because that's what I heard my parents say to me. Do you think I'm a screw up? She just said no. And I go, oh, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed because someone else has spoken into me some truth. I can't keep the shame inside. I want you just to think for 1 second. Everyone shut your eyes. Take a deep breath in. And then take a deep breath out. What needs to be redeemed in you? What is the story that needs something? As you open your eyes, I want you to turn and look at the person next to you and look at them and say, I'm really needy. Yeah. Okay. So some of you are saying a whole lot more. Some of you are already probably answering the answer. I want you to look back at that person and say, I know you are, but it's okay with me. Here's the thing. You and I all have needs. We are all needy at some level. Guess what? That's how we were created. If you don't remember, in the garden, there was a breakup. Eve ate a piece of fruit. Adam said, well, I don't know. And God said, what have you done? We're broken up. All relationships got broken up some way. And so there was no perfection anymore. There is a need. You are okay because you have a need. You are okay because sometimes you need to look at someone and say, the story I'm telling myself is my parents got divorced because of me. And the person who just looked at you and said, I know you are, but that's okay with me. They look at you and say, you're still, remember, okay with me. When you're the big, bad football player who has all the girls and who's getting all the A's and who's supposed to make it on the great big teams, and you're like walking around and everyone's like, he's got no problems. Like, she's not talking to him right now, but he has no needs. And inside of him, he's like, I better keep this facade up. I better not tell anyone how scared I am. I better not tell anyone how nervous I am that if I fail, that all this will go away. You know what? You are needy. And you are in need of that thought being redeemed. You need to turn that thought in to someone else and say, can you help me? Because I feel scared and alone. And here's the thing, my friends, is you don't have to look at them and fix it. You just have to look at them and go, I bet you are, and you're still okay with me. That's all we need to know in redemption, is that we are still okay as we figure these things out. Turn in the painful stories, the stories that might be telling you negativity, into someone else, so that they can bring the redemption back into you. That is the way that we give grace to each other. Here's part of my story that always happened to me, and this started back like when I was in high school. I had such a fear of failure, and it followed me throughout part of my career, that I believed that if I failed, if I was not always the best and the top of the organizational ring, then I would lose my job, lose my money, lose my home, and I would end up living with my cat in a cardboard box on a street somewhere. Like, it went from there to there that quickly. It was so fearful and so real for me. And I had a counselor look at me one time and say, don't you think that if you lost your job and if you were really hurting financially that your family might help you? I looked at him like he was crazy. I was like, what? It had never dawned on me that somebody would be there to help redeem me in my fear. Turn your fear, turn your shame into redemption. I have called you by name. Right now, when I look out here, I see a large group of people. And you know what I really want to do right now? I really just kind of want to sit on this stage and like let you just kind of keep coming up to me one-on-one, and I want to hear your stories. I want to know your name. Who are you? What are you? What's happening with you? I want to know you, and I don't get that privilege. But there is a God who knows your name. God knows who you are. He sees you. At the beginning of time, he knew that you would be here in this moment, in this place, looking and searching for answers, for friendships, for people to be with. You have been called. Called people are not worthless people. They are not unskilled. They are not without purpose. Called people are people who have a purpose in their identity. And it may not be the exact same purpose as the person next to you. This is a really hard thing because we want to fit in, right? Like, I don't want to stick out like the sore thumb. I want to look like everyone else. I want to be like everyone else, because if I look different or do something different, then they might all like run away from me. Then I got to go back to being redeemed from these negative thoughts. But if I'm called into purpose, I can search out my identity. What are you called to and for? When you close your eyes at night and you say, the world would be great if I could do this. I wonder what it would be like if this happened. What are the dreams that you dream that might actually hold on to part of your calling? There's a woman who I heard speak. I think I actually first heard her speak when I was in high school. And her name was Lucy Swindoll, and she was a brilliant, fabulous woman. And I remember her saying, if you don't ever dream something, you will never do anything. She said, because of our dreams, that is where we find out part of why we are put here on this earth, and it's part of who we are, and it is part of what we can do. As you dream about your calling, as you dream about doing things, do not believe that anything is too insignificant. Begin to say, what if? How about? Can I really? Those callings come when we least expect it. What do you dream about? And when you say, oh, my dreams can't come true, say, you know what, Lord? If this is from you, I'll trust you to lead the way. God, if this dream is part of my purpose, I will trust you to lead the way as if this is part of my calling. And that means that we get to step out in the goodness of how we do things. Our identity becomes redeemed people. Our identity is becoming called people to the purpose that He has for us. And sometimes when we feel awkward or different about that, we ask someone just to celebrate it with us. I told a friend one time, I'm like, hey, you know what? I feel really weird. Like, I feel like I'm thinking about all these things and none of you to think about these things. And what I really wanted him to say was, Michelle, you're not weird at all. And you know what he said? He said, you're totally weird. And I was like, I don't want to be weird. Don't let me be weird. And he said, but Michelle, you are weird because you think differently. You think in this creative way. You see things that we don't see. And that is really cool. It's okay to feel a little weird at times. It's okay to be different at times. It's okay to check in with somebody at times. It's not okay to ignore what you feel called in the dream of your life and purpose of your life. You are mine. At the end of the moment, at the end of the time, what we want to remember is whose we are. Because there are days that I just have to say, Jesus, I need you to remind me that you love me right now. Jesus, I need you to be part of my world right now because I'm feeling alone, I'm feeling scared, I'm feeling shame, I'm feeling questions, I'm feeling doubt. My identity is a mess inside of me. I need you. And I come back to this verse that says, you are mine. How many of you remember the movie Finding Nemo? All of you have seen it, right? And like all the little crabs are going, mine, 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 mine. That. Think about that picture the next time when you're like, I don't know where I belong. I don't know whose I am. And then all of a sudden Jesus is there going, mine, 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 mine. You are mine. You are mine. And I have redeemed you. I have called you. You matter. You are important. Find the connection that you need to make it understood. My grace is here between you and me. It is here. Don't forget that we have to find it from each other horizontally also to appreciate our identity. I wonder, what is the story that you tell yourself? I'm going to help you with that for a second. I want you to stand up and try to get yourself in a little cluster of three. So whatever you need to do, kind of make little triangles of three. All right, this is what we're going to do. This is a three-step process. So we'll go through step one. And then when I think everyone's gone through step one, we'll do this again. And I'll tell you step two, and then we'll do step three. This is a way that we bring connection in. This is a way that we start speaking truth. This is a way that we remember that together we are unified and matter for identity. So you're going to be in a triangle. These three lovely ladies have volunteered to help me. They're kind of voluntold, so give them some grace. So Brenna is going to start first. One person will start in the triangle first, and Brenna is going to look at Haley and say, I matter. And then she's going to look at Audrey and say,
I matter.
She's caught it. She's caught on. And then Haley is going to say it to the other two, and then Audrey will say it to the other two. Get it? So each of you say to the other two people, I matter. And it's eye contact. Eye contact. All right. So we did the I matter. Now I would like you to do the same idea, but the phrase is with eye contact, you matter. Ready? Go. So let's take a quick poll. Who thought saying I matter was the easiest of the three? Who saying you matter thought that was the easiest of the three? And who thought saying we matter was the easiest of the three? Yes. It builds and it grows. We can say with great confidence, you matter. You matter. I would be there. We can say with great confidence, we matter. If we were not together in this group, we would not be we. We matter. Thank you. But when we have to come and say, I matter, it's like we want to take a step back. It's like we want to almost cover up. We giggle more, the laughter's louder, because it feels uncomfortable. But the I matter matters. It is who you are. If I does not matter, then you is difficult to matter. You doesn't know that he or she matters. And we can't matter because you're not there to be we. My hope and prayer for each of you is that you would begin to change the story you tell yourself. Everyone hold up your iPhone. I've got one more thing for you to do. I love this. Like years ago, that we could have never done this. Hold up your iPhone. Now put it in front of you and take a selfie of you at this very moment. Here's my hope and prayer for you is that the next time you go to your phone, anytime you go to your phone and you see that selfie, you will sit there in the moment of that selfie and go, you know what? I remember taking that selfie at a moment where I remembered that I mattered. And that I am to take my redemption. You look at that picture and you remember that you are redeemed, you are called, you are His. And if you don't know that and don't believe that, then look at that person who says, I know you're needy and you're okay with me. And if that person really isn't okay with you or doesn't feel safe for you, you find the person who is. Because there are people who are there to redeem you. You all matter. Thank you so much for spending your time with us.